You may have heard someone say you shouldn't run because it'll give you arthritis, or that you shouldn't work out with arthritis because it might make it worse. Well, today I'm gonna put all those myths to bed, and I'm gonna talk to you all about the data behind exercise and osteoarthritis. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to the Building Lifelong Athletes podcast. Thanks so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. We haven't met yet. My name is Jordan Reneke. I'm a dual board certified physician in family and sports medicine. And the goal here of this podcast is to help keep you active and healthy for life through actionable, evidence-informed education. Thanks so much for stopping by again. And today we're talking all about osteoarthritis and exercise. This is part of the series that we're doing here of exercise as medicine, meaning how can we use exercise as an actual treatment modality, right? And so instead of a medication, using exercise. And today we're talking about how can we use exercise for arthritis. So first of all, like we've been doing most of the podcast, we're talking about why. Why do we care about this? Like, Jordan, why does it matter? Well, osteoarthritis is super prevalent. I'm sure either you know someone or maybe you have yourself who has arthritis. It is very common. Rates have doubled since the mid 20th century. So mid, 1900s here, and then it's only increasing, just kind of going up and up and up. And there are some specific risk factors that are out there. So there are some things that like age, gender, obesity, genetics, inflammation in your body, those are kind of things that can happen. Also, there's mechanical reasons too, like the way you're aligned, your joint structure, if you've had trauma there previously, your occupation, the amount of physical activity you had, lots and lots of reasons why it could happen. In terms of trauma, I think one thing to talk about is for every two injuries, so if you have two major injuries, one of those, so 50% are going to end with osteoarthritis in the next 10 to 15 years. So you think about those ACL injuries, right? If you've ever had an ACL injury or know someone who has, or professional athletes, half of those people are going to develop osteoarthritis later in life. So trauma is a big risk factor for that. Is it something inherently in the trauma, or who knows what and why, who gets what, 50% gets it, but that is something we see there as well. And also, exercise is fantastic, and to cut the chase, it is not bad for arthritis, but high level sports may be associated with OA as well. So like a certain level of activity, we'll kind of talk all about that. And a question I do have is, a lot of people is like, well, what causes osteoarthritis? And the answer is we're not entirely sure. Back in the day, we used to think it's like wear and tear, right? Like, oh, you got some wear and tear on the joints and that's just how it goes. And it's definitely not 100% correct. There is some component to that? Yeah, absolutely. In terms of physical activity on the joint, but it doesn't really seem like it's like coincided with, hey, like you've used it and which is wear and tear. That's a simplified version of osteoarthritis, and that's ever changing. We'll probably have an entire podcast season on osteoarthritis because it's very complex and we're learning more and more, but it's not just wear and tear. It's kind of changes in the cartilage. The way I kind of think of it is there's a mismatch between cartilage degradation and synthesis. So that's kind of the general idea behind it. It's not necessarily wear and tear, just for whatever reason, we're having more degradation than synthesis. And the go-along question with that is, does exercise cause arthritis? Well, spoiler, doesn't seem like it on average. So if you look at the majority of the data, normal average amounts of exercise does not seem to cause arthritis. However, way too much may not be great for you. There's some newer data showing that physical activity may actually slow down generation of arthritis. So if you have arthritis, doing physical activity, it actually may slow down the progression of that. So that's a fantastic thing. And also there's data that I've seen that people who had surgery on their knees, since they had cartilage surgery, and they were like upstanding hours after the surgery, meaning, hey, getting stress on that. And it seems like getting stress onto that cartilage seemed to help it kind of form from there. And like most things, the truth is probably in the middle, meaning there's probably some truth to that statement where physical activity is good, but too much might be too much. Some seems to be protective, so some physical activity is good, too much might be problematic. And that's kind of makes sense, right? That's pretty much like everything I talk about. I talk about all the time progressive loading, whether that is for exercise or rehabilitation, but that's what it's all about, is progressively loading things. And there's a certain threshold that your body can take. And sometimes finding that threshold, we have to scale it back down. And it seems to be maybe the same thing with this. If there's a tipping point where everybody has kind of their threshold, right? Where if you go past that, it might be an issue. Obviously, it's hard to know definitively in the moment. It's not like you can like just run and you're running, you're like, okay, I have arthritis right now. That's not how it goes. But there may be a instance where, hey, this much volume in this person or this much kind of leads to arthritis. But most of the data is with people who do this very intensely. And when you're just exercising for health, I'm not really too worried about the progression of arthritis. In fact, it's very good for you. But that is the risk you run with being a high level athlete, right? Most people think, those people are super healthy, they're athletes, and they're amazingly athletic in the thing that they're doing, and they are made for what they're doing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the most healthy thing. I mean, if you play any level of high level sports, you're going to know it's not great for you. I mean, even me just being a college baseball player back in the day, I mean, it's definitely left wear and tear to me in terms of my knees and my shoulder and lots of things. You know, when you do something to that level where you're doing it over and over and over at a very high level, you reach the threshold of healthy and you go past that. And that's the trade-off you have for competition. Would I trade it for anything? No, wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it so much. But that is the understanding that when you are a high-level athlete, it is not necessarily for your health anymore. There are maybe some detriment to that as well. But that does not apply to the vast majority of us. Most of us are just lifelong athletes, want to be healthy. And so for most people just kind of getting out there doing their thing, I'm not too worried about that. I was also able to look at a systematic review looking at exercise and osteoarthritis progression. And there were two main groups in the systematic review. One group had arthritis already, so some mild, moderate level of osteoarthritis. And there's another group that had risk factors for developing OA based on the things we talked about before in terms of age or gender or you know, obesity, anything like that. So those who are at a higher risk. And they kind of looked at them, they did exercise, and they looked and said, hey, both groups, they did knee joint loading exercises. So weight-bearing exercises, wasn't like just water aerobics, something like that. So things that were challenging, hard, putting force through the knee. And it didn't seem that that joint loading exercises, they were harmful at all to their particular cartilage. You know, most of them, they kind of looked at the composition of the cartilage. They looked at, you know, the actual size through MRI and scanning and x-rays, and look at the cartilage composition through various laboratory tests. And they either saw no effect on the exercise or actually a beneficial effect on the cartilage composition. So on average, it seemed like, hey, exercise was beneficial for this population, even weight-bearing things. So it seems like exercise does not cause arthritis unless they're at extreme levels. And there's actually probably this sweet spot, right? Actually, there's more an association with like no physical activity level. Like if you have like almost no physical activity, you have a higher chance of getting it, and then way too much as well. So once again, finding that sweet spot, but exercise in general doesn't seem to cause arthritis. The next question I want to answer is exercise actually beneficial for OA, right? We talked about, well, does it cause it? Doesn't seem like it. Is it beneficial? On average, the answer is yes. Exercise is still prescribed as the first line therapy for osteoarthritis by pretty much all the major organizations. There's some newer literature that came out there that says, maybe it's not as great, but for right now, it's still the first line therapy. And I'll explain to you why those recommendations, even if it's not quote unquote as great for OA, doesn't matter anyway, so we'll talk about that in a second. But the data definitely is not robust. Most of the data shows short-term improvements in things like pain and function, which are great. Improving your pain, improving your function, that's awesome. But the data is pretty much short-term and it doesn't really go out long, like super long-term. And it's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. And one thing that's also tricky about the data is most of the data, like the vast majority of the data, are done in knee osteoarthritis. So we're kind of extrapolating what we see. The next most common study is usually the hip. And after that, it's just like, it just falls off the cliff in terms of the data. Like looking at hand or wrist stuff, there's just very, very little data on that in comparison for systematic reviews. Kind of looking through the systematic reviews, most of it was on knee OA, some on hip, but they just couldn't find a lot of other stuff. You'll find articles about wrist or whatnot or ankle, but those just, they're not as prevalent as the knee or hip. And so the knee is the main one and the hip as well. And then after that, we kind of extrapolate what we see in there. We say, oh, like arthritis is arthritis, right? It probably extrapolates to the hand or wrist or elbow. And so that's kind of what it was. But looking at the big systematic reviews, on average, exercise was as beneficial as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which is, for me, a huge win, right? If you can have something like exercise that has minimal side effects and there's a ton of other positive benefits, like then it's a no-brainer. That should be our first line. And even if people say it's not as good for arthritis as we think it is, which if that's the case, like, okay, I'm willing to justify that. And the data is not fantastic, so I can definitely be convinced. But even if it's not fantastic, I'm not going to tell you not exercise, right? Like if you've listened to my podcast ever, I'm not going to be like, don't exercise. Clearly there's so many other benefits from that. Even if we get marginal improvement in arthritis with exercise, then I'm still going to recommend it every day, all day as the first line for pretty much every condition you have and then arthritis including well. And so that's why for me, first line therapy will pretty much always be exercise because that should be first line therapy for life. And if it helps arthritis, that's a huge, you know, that's a bonus as well. And if it doesn't, then okay, well, we're still exercising because it's good for us. But on the overall like data looking at it, it looks like exercise is beneficial for arthritis on average. And so I'm like, okay, Jordan, cool. I need exercise. What's the best type of exercise to do with arthritis? And the answer here may make you happy or may make you angry, but long story short, it's just do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever you want to do. There's data showing that aerobic exercise, strengthening, range of motion, proprioceptive or balance training all seem to decrease pain and increase function in knee osteoarthritis. Things like cycling, walking, swimming, running, playing sports, like really anything seems to be fantastic and you can do that. And the question is, well, how do I find the right exercise for me? And it's going to come down to trial and error, pretty much like any exercise plan I've talked about. you'll see people on YouTube or online saying there's a magic exercise, right? Like the number one exercise to do for arthritis. And if someone says that, you should pretty much ignore them because you live in your body 24 hours a day, right? You know it best. As a physician, I don't know your body better than you. You do, you live in it. And so if a position or movement really hurts you, then move on to the next exercise. There's no one exercise you have to do. People may be disappointed though, however, say, oh, like I really wish there was a magic exercise. But honestly, that's really good news that there is no magic exercise because you have so many options. You have options for days here. You can pick your favorite and go. And when people try to scare you, say, hey, I need to do this. Like there are some people who I see online say, you need to do squat, bench, deadlift, or you know, whatever thing. You need to be running. You need to do this. Like, man, you can live a long, healthy life and never run again. I'm just saying that you can do that. Obviously, we need to do some sort of cardiovascular training, whether we're rowing or biking or elliptical or swimming, whatever, you can do that. But there's no rules out here saying like you need to run. If you enjoy running, love it. More power to you, let's do it. The same thing on the other side with the powerlifters. If you're not doing squats, bench, deadlifts, are you even doing anything? That's not true at all. Man, like I promise you, nobody's gonna run into your gym because you did, you know, some sort of machine press or, you know, squats in a machine or leg press or whatever. Like nobody's gonna come in there and be like, what are you doing? No, it's totally fine. You can do that. Whatever works for you, that is the best exercise. However, that being said, after picking your favorite, I still recommend us following the physical activity guidelines, right? So making sure we're getting aerobic training on top of strength training as well. And so that's overall what I'm recommending, that hey, finding the right exercise for you is what you need to do. And I think a lot of times people talk about, what do we do though with arthritis? If you have arthritis, what happens if my pain is flared up? Well, that's a great question because that can happen with arthritis, right? You're exercising or you're living life and you just have kind of pain flares, and that's how it works. A small pain flare is okay. You know, if this is a onesie twosie, if it happens, say, okay, like that happens, we'll make note of that, but keep going. But if we keep flaring up with an activity, then we kind of want to think about, okay, what am I doing here? Like, let's say specifically, hey, when I go on my longer runs, like it really gets flared up, it's bad. Well, then we have to consider, hey, do we need to limit something in our training? And I know this is not fun to hear in terms of like, you know, I want to be young forever. I want to do everything that I've always done. And that just may not be the case with any long-term health condition, musculoskeletal condition, or something like arthritis. You may have to adjust how your workouts. And that's just how it goes. In terms of limiting things, you may need to limit something like volume, meaning how much. Like, hey, throughout the week, I'm running 50 miles. I may need to drop that down. May need to modify your intensity or how hard you're going. Or your duration, right? How long you're doing it. And you kind of got to find that sweet spot. And then also for resistance training type things, you may have to adjust either the range of motion or the certain movements you're doing. I think a lot of times you are able to find your pain-provoking activities. For arthritis specifically, we'll just take me for example. A lot of times that's with like deep squatting that seems to be bothersome, or high volume activity. Or for some people, it's high volume with weight-bearing exercise. And so it's just finding that right dose, right? Maybe it's not running 5 days a week. Maybe it's running 3 days a week. And those 2 days we're doing some sort of elliptical, bike, what have you. And for lifting, maybe it's, hey, for my squatting, maybe I can't tolerate as much on a back squat. Maybe I can try front squat. If I can't do front squat, can I try leg press? If I can't do that, can I do modified range of motion, meaning I'm not going quite as low? Or can I change my tempo to go a little slower so I'm not going to load it as much but still feel stimulus? There's so many, pretty much unlimited variables and variability that we can have in our training program. And so we really just have to adapt and try. And I know that stinks. I know people will say, like, I want to do this thing forever. And my goal is to get you to do that, right? As a sports medicine doctor, I want people to be active and healthy for life, doing what they want to do. That being said, being active and healthy for life, sometimes that looks different later in life than it was when we were 18. You know, when we're 18, you can just get up and do whatever you want. That may be different. And if you want to keep doing the things through pain, like that's your prerogative. But for me, my general approach for this is if something really flares you up, either, hey, stepping back, figuring out, is there an acute issue that we need to rehab to get past this? Or are there modifications I need to do to my training to kind of continue to work out? And a lot of times that's in my training history, I've had things pop up all the time in terms of pain and whatnot. And I got some arthritis in my knee. I got stuff going on and it is what it is. And some days there's good days, some days there's bad days, but I kind of just train around that. If I'm having a bad day or don't feel good, then I adjust. And I think that's kind of I'm in the long game now, just thinking, hey, how do I stay active and healthy for life? How do I continue to be an able-bodied human being and father and husband, all those things. And that's what I want to think about now. And so modifying for me looks very different than it was when I was an athlete, right? Like, and so if you are an athlete still in terms of like a strict competition that you're going for and you have to do that, then yeah, I get that. There's certain trade-offs we have to have. But if you're just exercising for life, man, then we can find alternative ways to get you to do that. And so that's kind of my general take on exercise, and specifically with arthritis. This is the patient, you know, the conversation I have with patients a lot is, hey, you know, we did do this thing all the time, and right now it's just not happening. And maybe this comes down to, hey, we want to do exercise, we need other treatments, but exercise, when it comes to that, I want you to continue to exercise as much as humanly possible. And so that's just me kind of ranting about exercise and how to modify exercise for really anything. And it's not necessarily arthritis, but I want you to keep doing it, and I want you to be able to exercise. And so that's why it's important to modify, so that we can keep doing it, because it's so good for you. But thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this, please sign up for my mailing list, where I'll notify you whenever I put out new content. And I promise I'll never spam you, because I hate spam. But this does conclude the episode. Now get off your phone and get outside and have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time. Disclaimer: this podcast is for entertainment, education, and informational purposes only. The topics discussed should not solely be used to diagnose, treat, or prevent any condition. The information presented here was created with an evidence-based approach, but please keep in mind that science is always changing, and at the time of listening to this, there may be some new data that makes this information incomplete or inaccurate. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or qualified healthcare provider for questions regarding any medical condition.